Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:02 p.m. Actually, it's 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and we're broadcasting live, or I'm broadcasting live, not from the ATL, but actually from Birmingham, Alabama. You're probably going to hear some sounds in the background because there's some people that's doing some work, because I'm at a location that's being worked on here, a house that they're working on, so I'm checking it out as they're doing the work. But welcome to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from Birmingham, Alabama, better known as the Magic City. And hey, this weekend, they got it going on down here. They got the SWAC tournament going on. That's a Southern West, Southwest, Southern, yeah, SWAC conference championship. A lot of conference championships are going on throughout the nation. And just been checking out. I was checking out some of the games yesterday. But we have some great topics, great stuff that we're going to talk about today. So hopefully you guys are tuned in and listening in to the show. Yes, we are here in Birmingham, Alabama. So without further ado, let me see what the board is looking like and see who's calling in. We've got the chat room open, so hopefully everybody is available in the chat. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, board's open. Make sure that you call in at 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Or go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. So this is the first time in a long time that I've broadcast from a different location. I'm not sure if it's getting out there. I hope so. Okay. And also I have to remind you, if you don't want to call in and you just want to, you know, post your questions or comments, you can do that too. at www.blogtalkradio.com/TMZS. Okay? Did I say already? Yes, I did. All right. And I will read your questions and comments on the air. So let me see if this is working out okay, because this is interesting here. All right. Let me see if I got Janet Davis coming in, if I got timing coming in. Let me see what's up here. Okay. So I came over here to Birmingham this weekend because there's some friends of mine that live here that I've known for a while, because I did live in Birmingham for a little while and did construction here. And I hadn't been here for a while. And so I said, well, you know what? I've met some people that I've never met in person. I know that sounds crazy, right? But yes, I've met some people who call into the show, been guests on the show. I said, you know, I might as well come on over and, you know, and see what's happening in Birmingham. And it's really amazing when you come to Birmingham, the city of Birmingham, when you look at the homes and the houses and everything. Unfortunately, a lot of them are dilapidated. There are a lot of them that have been burnt down in horrible conditions. But you look at the downtown area, it's all up to date. There's, you know, new buildings being built. But the certain areas, it's kind of sad to see some of the homes that are not being taken care of. But there's a lot of people who are buying homes, who own homes and rebuilding them. So that's a great thing to see here in the city. I see a hand up, and it is my right hand, the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Happy Saturday, Janet, from Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, can you hear me? Well, wait a minute, let me see. Janet, are you there? Hold on a minute. I got to see what happened. Oh, there we go. I can hear you now.
Michael, I just sent you an article where they apprehended this guy who killed three family members, Andre Gordon, in New Jersey.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, they just apprehended him. They were looking for him. He slipped away from the police. Anyway, that might be a good article. Just wanted to let you know, that's the last one I sent.
I'm sorry, I had myself on mute. Just to let you know, okay, thank you for sending that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh.
I hear you.
Oh, okay.
Mute phone tag.
Yeah, I keep muting myself because, like I said, I'm over here and there's some construction going on in the area, and I'm a little bit out here on the patio, and they're trying to just fix up a few things here. So that's cool. But what's interesting, too, I've learned about a few things that's happened over here in Birmingham, unfortunately. Four people were murdered, a week ago or so, and just a couple of days ago. Now, if you guys remember the TV show, The First 48, you know they did a lot regarding Memphis area, Birmingham, Alabama, a few other cities in different states. But it's sad to come over and hearing about these crimes that are being committed. And it's basically young people. You know, it's young people having beef with other young people. You know, it's really, 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 really sad. Okay, so before we go into our topics, we're going to go to the... I'm sorry?
No, I said yes, it is. Very sad.
It's very sad over stupid stuff. But what I want to do, before we get into the topics, one thing we're going to talk about is Fannie Willis. Boy, did she dodge a bullet. We're not going to get into that right now. What I want to do is just read off a couple of things that I call. I don't want to get into Fannie yet. I don't want to talk about Fannie yet at the moment. I don't want to talk about Fannie yet. Fannie, okay. Some people say Fannie, but it's Fannie Willis, okay?
It's
so Fannie. I'm going to say we'll talk about Fannie Willis in a moment. But here's some things that I came across that was interesting. There's a story about the police department in New Orleans, Louisiana. according to the article, and this is how it read, is that rats broke into the evidence room at the police department and started consuming the marijuana.
Hi, rats.
Let me repeat that. Wait a minute. Let me repeat that. The rats broke in. Do you hear me? The rats broke into the evidence room and started consuming the marijuana of all. Do rats really break into stuff? What they do? Kick down the door? Did they pick the lock? How do rats break into anything? Rats don't break into anything, but they wrote in the article that the rats broke into the property room and started eating the marijuana.
Well, they do get holes in your house. So, you know, it's possible. It's a possibility.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying, but the word broke in, I still can't get past that. I can see the rats infested the room or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But rats, true enough, rats will get into something. Sometimes they can't find their way out. But just when you use the term, they broke in, like forcefully, well, okay, forceful. They'll find a way, yeah. They'll eat holes through walls. But they said that, yeah, this was in the New Orleans Police Department in the property room. Can you imagine some rats get in there and be like, saying to another rat, hey, man, you checked out that new club? What new club? The property room. Yeah, we broke into it last night. Man, they got some of the best weed you could ever munch on, bro. Broke into the property room. I mean, that just took me for a moment. I'm like, whatever. You know.
Yeah.
I could just imagine. So what do they do now? Remove the marijuana from that room? It's supposed to be a safe and secure room, right? So what do they do with it? Or when the case comes up and they say to the person who got arrested with it, we have here that you had 3 pounds of marijuana. Excuse me, Your Honor. Right now it's only one because the rats ate the other 2 pounds. So you can't get me on those 2 pounds. It's been consumed. I don't know. Hey, I see there's a hand up, so I'm gonna bring them in just a moment. But that was an interesting story. I thought it gave a little laugh. All right, so Bonnie Willis is able to proceed in the investigation or bring forward on Donald Trump. Her lover had to remove himself, according to the judge. Her alleged lover, but they did have a relationship. Then they did break up. Right. I saw the case. I understand that part of it, but that was why they brought it up, because that was supposed to be something to say, oh, neither one of them are fit to do this, so drop all the charges against Donald Trump. Not enough. And I do see a secret squirrel on here. I have a feeling I think I know who that is. Don't you, Janet? But it shouldn't change the fact that and I said before, the grand jury already looked at the evidence based on that, but just because that there's something up where, hey, wait a minute, there was a relationship, it doesn't change the fact that here's the evidence that was presented about that individual.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't change. It should not change. Now, you could say, well, you know, we think that you should recuse yourself, just like they've asked, you know, Justice Thomas to do so, and he refuses to. Correct. She sure as hell ain't gonna do it. And who's gonna make him? He's a Supreme Court justice. Who's gonna make him?
Mm-mm-mm.
Nobody.
Nobody.
There's a difference. He has no one to answer to other than his peers, if it ever came to that. But it never did, and it never will. But what do you think about the judge's decision From what I'm saying, it was a choice. Either she recused, or I'm sorry, either she removed herself or he gets removed. She had a choice in the matter, pretty much, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what do you think about the decision that the judge made on that?
I thought the judge made an excellent decision when it came to giving her a choice instead of him trying to reprimand, you know. So, and really, he gave her a choice, but Wade stepped down on his own right after the judge down. He resigned, you know, so she didn't have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that was the best way to handle that situation, because you can't just wipe away everything. You can't wipe away the fact that, hey, wait a minute, these are two different situations here. You're talking about You're talking about a former president, and the allegations and the charges against him, and then a relationship between two individuals.
Well, the good thing about the good thing about the whole situation, she can move forward now into proceeding with getting the jury selected and starting the case, the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they come up with something else.
Hold on just a second. I got to put myself on mute, but go ahead and add on more to that and just give me just a second.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, the only thing I could think of is if they came up with I don't think there's anything else they can come up with, because to me that felt like that was they were really reaching for I felt like they were reaching for straws, because they couldn't prove that the relationship started in 2019, and the two people who were supposed to be key witnesses,
mm-hmm.
they bailed out in the end. The woman, she couldn't say anything, but they were hugging and kissing, but she couldn't put dates or anything in there, as far as I can recall. And then for the lawyer, you know, his memory wasn't all that great either, you know. But he said that when they asked him questions and he answered in the text message, he was not referring to the actual case. He was talking about something else.
What I found interesting is also, and that's a good point, but what I also found interesting is that where some of the lawyers chimed in and said, you know, that's a tough one, because Trump's lawyers, I mean, you're debating with another lawyer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not debating. You're not a cross examining an everyday Joe. You're dating a person who knows the law, knows how to
manipulate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How to work with it, and how to answer, when to answer, what to say, what not to say. And I mean, that's a tough one.
And there's nothing wrong with saying I don't recall, because someone else uses that a lot.
Let me guess, the initials, D. Okay. Anyway, true. Very true. Very true. Don't recall. Have no recollection. True enough. That's true. So, Secret Squirrel, and yes, I'm going to keep saying Secret Squirrel. That's something that many shows say that I've been affiliated with. When you call in with a 1111111 number, I'm going to open up your mic.
Isn't that in the chat room, or is that someone listening?
That's on the board. That's on the that's on the call board. So, your mic is about to open. Okay.
Well, you don't own a secret store.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Michael Day. How are you, sir?
Oh, wait a minute. This is Mike from Singapore.
Yes sir. Last week, you see, I came late. You remember I was late. I came in. And,
right.
So, anyway, I jumped in earlier with you guys. today. So hi, everybody. Michael Gray and your co-host. I forgot her name. Is that?
That's okay, Janet.
So Janet, yes, my dear. Yes, sorry, mm-hmm. I apologize. Yes, how are you, both of you guys? Go ahead, please.
Pretty good, man. Yeah, long time.
Sounds
now,
great.
See, you get a pass for calling in as a one woman because you explain that, and I understand why if you come up on the board like that, because you are in Singapore, right? So it does come up. It's not going to show me Eric Holt, you know, so and so and so and so. You know, so that's the way Mike has to chime in. How's things going with you? And after that, let us know what's this information or what's going on here in the United States. What do people in Singapore think about it that's being discussed?
Okay, you know, we must, as American citizens, we must have a dialogue, a friendly dialogue. Okay, somebody may like Trump, that's fine. But we have many commonalities in this country with together as American citizens or somebody like maybe Biden, Joe Biden, president of USA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we must have to be examples for the future of other countries. Otherwise, you know, if we want to dialogue and then get emotion about it, then it doesn't work. And it's going to create more problems than what we already have in this beloved country.
That's right.
So we have to be example for the other countries and nations. Otherwise, you know, they don't need to put any atomic missile, World War III. We kill each other within the United States, and Ayatollahs will laugh at us. The Putin will laugh at us, and other in North Korea and et cetera, China too, they will laugh at us. We must be example. We should never get, you know, okay, it's been this way for over 220 years since 1776. You know, okay, either Democrats maybe win, maybe Republicans sometimes win, maybe they win 8 years in a row. Then again goes to the Democratic, you know, president and so on. So it's been like that. We never had the problems that we have today. Today is like everything we talk about is like everybody wants to stab each other and kill each other. And that's not a good sign. Go ahead, please.
I feel our worship, our leaders should set an example instead of looking like I can't even describe some of the things that have been said or how, you know, people conduct themselves, but you're supposed to set an example and not, and you know, because you're for the people. You're not there for yourself. It's not for personal gain. You're supposed to be for the people and the United States vote you in, so therefore set an example, you know, and not act like you know, it's hard to see how people act in other countries looking at you.
But here's the thing, too. Let me elaborate on that a little bit or speak on that. It's like Timon said, and I'm not sure if Timon's going to be able to chime in today, but it's like Timon said that where, you know, since Donald Trump now, and we cannot deny the fact, since Donald Trump, this country has become it's a reality show. Our government has become a reality show. We are always, you know, and granted, I have to admit, I look at stuff when it pops up on my phone of where Donald Trump said this, Donald Trump said that. And I do that because I am a radio show host. I have to pay attention to certain stories and things like that because there are people out there that believe everything Donald Trump says.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And
I just didn't want to mention the name.
But here's the thing, okay, and I wish I was able to download the clip. But I'm going to give it to you just a little bit of what occurred. This individual, came up on a lady, and she had this banner that said Donald Trump, something like now and forever, or then and forever, or 2024 and forever, something like that. But anyway, she showed the banner, and he asked her, he said, so you support Donald Trump? He said, yeah. He said, so Donald Trump Donald Trump is the president. He said, well, how can he be the president if Joe Biden is the president? And she said, well, Joe Biden is not the president, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, so who is? He said, well, no, it's Obama. He said, Obama's the president? She said, yeah. How is that possible? She said, because Obama said that if he could, he'd be in the basement and run the country. And so he's actually running it, you know, and Biden is just the front guy. She said, but how is it possible for Obama to be the president if you just told me that Donald Trump is the president? And she goes, say that again? Really? You don't, I mean, this woman spun a web. So amazing, the story here. First she says Trump is the president. Well, Biden's the president. No, actually, Obama's the president, and he's the president, and using Biden. Which is it? How much of this freaking Kool-Aid have you drank? How much?
Well, I know one thing.
I'm almost done, but I'm saying. So basically, she's saying that there's three presidents. In her mind, Donald Trump is the president, and I'll give her that, the president of the MAGA movement. That's what he's the president of. He's not the president of the United States. He's the president over the people who follow him. There's no way in hell Obama is the president. I'm sure he and Biden do talk. Many presidents, I'm pretty sure, talk after they leave office. That should be nothing new. But how can you have three presidents at the same time is basically what she said.
You see, extremists of every kind is dangerous to the country. Like Iran, look at it. Ayatollah extremists follow the Ayatollah Khamenei. Less than 10% of the population. They rule over 90% of the population. And look at, everywhere you go, Ayatollahs are in charge of a lot of problems around the globe. From Iraq to Syria to Yemen and etc. So extremists of both sides are wrong. I condemn extremists of all kinds because you need to have we have so many commonalities. Once we talk, we see commonality. Okay, let us talk about the commonality. All the differences is always there. There is not you are bigger than me. Okay. But there's nothing I can do, okay? I am taller than you, maybe, but you are bigger than me. So there's nothing I can do. Differences is always there, so we have to find most commonality and, move forward, because otherwise we will not have a country like Haiti. You know what happened? The gang leader called himself a barbecue. And he, in front of the TV, he put his enemies into the fire, and then he eats the flesh of the people in front of the TV. I mean, I've seen some of it. I mean, it's so horrific that I cannot see everything of it. But you see, we must be an example for future societies. And
that's right.
We must love each other regardless. We are American citizens.
But, Mike, with all due respect, you're definitely right. You're 100%, 110% right. But that's not how a lot of people don't think. They don't think that way. A lot of people think, hey, it's my way or the highway. Hey, I don't give a damn about, you know, what other folks. It's about me. Okay? I see it every day. It's about me. Damn other folks. I see disrespectful, not just young kids, but even adults who are disrespectful. And I'm like, damn, you 60 years old and you still acting like that? You still talk like that? You still, you know, disrespect people like that, cuss in front of kids and everything? How would you feel if I was standing there, you know, cussing in front of your child and don't care? Just being disrespectful.
Right.
And the thing is that where, as I said before, okay, and I'm just going to say this, is that where a lot of folks say, oh, you just hate Donald Trump. I don't hate anybody. It's a waste of my time and energy to hate. I may dislike what a person does, but I'm not going to spend all my days hating them, thinking about them. I'm like, wow, they were wrong. Oh, they, you know. Looking at this whole thing between these two presidents, okay, where this is what they call a rematch. Like it's like a boxing. The rematch between Trump and Biden. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the reality is this, is that where one party says, look at Biden. He stammers. He almost he fell over. He did. Ain't no different with Trump. He does the same damn thing. He's done it. And they ain't using no damn AI. Now, Trump has said that the Democratic Party had put out a video of you know, a montage of things, which just recently, I forgot his name, Janet, refresh my memory, played it, and I watched it on PBS, where he did a montage of, you know, some, what they call it, what's the term when you screw up when you're talking? Snafus or whatever.
Right.
Many times that Trump has done it. Slurring in his speech and this and that and the other. But you're not going to say that, you know, there's something wrong here.
But the
I'm
thing
sure
is,
many
Michael,
of us have well, let
everybody
me finish for a moment.
That.
Let me finish just a second. I'll let you chime in and respond to that. All of us have sometimes become tongue-twisted. I get that. But in some of these instances, tongue-twisted could not be the excuse. And then you make an excuse of why you are tongue-twisted. What is what got me is when I saw that. Oh, I do that on purpose. Or you're... followers are like, oh, he does that. He's just joking. Really? Come on now. It's getting ridiculous, the excuses. I think both presidents are old. We all know that. They're going to have their moments. You know, but let's look at the reality of between the two. And it's just a battle of, well, this is what you did before. How can we trust you now? That's my opinion. That's what I'm seeing a lot of. It's becoming a blame game. But I have not heard anything that the former president, I have not seen anything during his rallies addressing the American people as a whole of what he would do for the country as a whole. The majority of these rallies are about what's happening to him. It's a personal thing. And you can't tell me I'm wrong. If you look at all the rallies, and if you separate how much is about the people and how much is about him, 90% is about him. Go ahead, Janet. I'm sorry.
Everybody knows that Biden has a family, even from being a child, you know. So you shouldn't be making a joke over it. You know, I think he has done a hell of a job as being able to hold a conversation without actually stuttering, you know. People make fun of his coughing. There's not, you know, I mean, if people clear their throat. But that's not making him not be a good leader for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So what excuse do you have when you don't have a stutter? What excuse do you have when you make a mistake and have a hiccup, you know?
Mm-hmm. Can I say something? Please make up. Yeah, you know, the problem is we all, I mean, I don't say that you, I mean, generally I'm speaking, people have a high horse, whether you are whether you are left, right, or middle, you know, people are having a high horse. I mean, you say something, oh my gosh, I mean, but we must come out of the high horse for the sake of this country. Otherwise, we will not have a country soon. And if we don't have a country soon, then it doesn't matter. You know, we can fight forever. But we want to have a country, so we have to come down from our high horses and make the commonality first. And yeah, differences, it's always will be there. But somebody may like X, somebody may like Y, but you know, that's how it is in the world, you know. There's nothing we can do about it. But we can say, okay, we are humanity, we are American citizens, we have lived 220 years since 1776 together, a good, bad, we lived together. So how come...
Let me ask you this though, Mike. I'm sorry to intervene. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question direct. Did you see Biden's speech, the State of the Union speech?
Most of yeah.
You did
see it? Because I
did
say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So at first, one individual, you know, made a comment and said, yeah, it was powerful. And then all of a sudden they said, well, that was just an attack. That was just a, you know, a rage on his behalf. In my opinion, now, I know my opinion don't count for everybody, but in my opinion, you know, the reason why he came the way he did, because I think he was expecting people like Marjorie Taylor Greene to do what she did. He was expecting some individuals to yell out, "You lie." Didn't we have that happen once before with Obama?
Mm-hmm.
And since when did the State of the Union, and we had this conversation on the board last week, or someone said in the chat room, well, booing is a form of heckling. Yeah, I'll give you that. When you boo as a whole, just one person just blatantly yell out, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, okay. But what I like that Biden did, he had a good comeback. Oh, you're getting all this money. Oh, well, you voted for it. You were against it, but once, you know, I mean, you voted against it, but you're receiving the money.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You voted against it, but I'll go ahead and take the money. How about you vote against it and say, like, I don't need your money. I don't need it. And see what your constituents think about that decision. Because they sure as hell wouldn't agree with it. Are you saying, nope, we don't need the money. I know I get paid, and I got two houses, and I get paid, you know, through my constituents. You have to remember, we pay these folks. When you shut down the government, that'll stop their paychecks, stops the people who work for the government's paychecks, not theirs. So that's the thing that I try to understand when folks say, you know, certain things. I'm like, wait a minute. Here's a person who's running for president for the third time, and he's chummy with some of our biggest nemesis, North Korea. We do business with China, but we don't always see eye to eye with China. But then again, let's look at Russia. Janet, remember I said, we can't forget the fact that this is the only president that I can recall that said, I asked him if he had anything to do with it. He told me no, and I believe him. Well, if you believe him, damn it, the rest of America better. Really?
Is
Vladimir
that the
Putin?
Time, is that the time when Putin came back and said, yes, he did, yes, he did, you know, when they
there
were in Helsinki?
How come you don't question, how come people who support him so much don't question that? I sure as hell did. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I believe a guy who used to be KGB. I believe anything he say now. And look at the people who all of a sudden are disappearing and dying over in that country that are against his policy. And you think that Donald Trump is you know, jumping on Putin's back about what's going on? No.
No, he wants them to win.
Well, Putin said that, you know, we'll support any president that the United States of America citizens put in office. You know that's not true. We know that's not true. He would love to see Donald Trump come back into the office. That's my, you know, comment. That's my response. He would love it. But see, we have to remember that we're, and if you guys don't know, China is building islands. Think it's not possible? Do your research. China is building islands and putting military equipment on these islands, more and more into the ocean. You do know.
Yes, Philippines. Yeah.
China is doing that, right? Now, look at where Russia invading Ukraine. A lot of folks say, well, we need to stop giving money to Ukraine for this and that. Well, what happens if we stop supporting Ukraine? What kind of leverage would Russia have? You know, Russia and China are really close. They're not democracies. They are dictatorships.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. We buy all this product from China, and the thing is, and I'm going to go ahead and let you all speak on it. What just boggles my mind is that we have all these disagreements with these other countries, but we do business with them on a daily basis. We have a disagreement about how we human rights and this and the other. We have disagreements about strategic locations around the globe. We're in South Korea to protect them from North Korea around the world.
Mm-hmm.
If we turn around and say, hey, you know what? We're not giving Ukraine another dime. Well, guess what Russia's going to do? Well, thank you. And not just the United States. Other countries are helping out because they know what the ramifications could be if we don't support Ukraine.
Thank God for the other countries helping out.
Right. People forget about that part, too. Other countries are like, oh, no. We can't let Russia just – because they – and just like Biden said.
Especially
Poland. If you think
Poland.
Putin will stop there – he said, if you think Putin will stop there, you're sadly mistaken. Remember the term world dominance. And keep in mind, like I just said, China and Russia are not democracies. Tiananmen Square should remind
and
you.
And Ayatollah too in Iran. Please don't forget Ayatollah in Iran also dictatorship.
Yes, Iran.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Korea.
Yeah, North Korea.
I said mm-hmm. North Korea, who is still, you know, making threats. And sometimes you have to, I mean, not sometimes, you got to take some of those threats seriously. Even though the United States plays it down a lot of times, oh, well, that's just them saying this, that, and the other. Well, they're not going to really take it serious. But here's the problem. We take the fear factor. We take these, many of our politicians who are telling you, oh, they're going to, well, Donald Trump said it the first term. They're sending their drug dealers. They're sending their rapists. They're sending who? Mexico. They're sending all of them over here. They're emptying out their jails. They're doing it. Okay. here's the problem I have with that. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to, you know, turn the mic over. But, you know, recently, and I spoke on this last week about the young lady who was murdered in Georgia by a migrant who had been in custody before. But now they're using this young lady's death as a political point. See, Biden's not doing enough to, hey, if you really think, and trust me, I'm not being, you know, lighthearted on it. I definitely believe that individual should, you know, go through the system and found guilty, and whatever, you know, his sentence is his sentence. But we got murderers and rapists and drug dealers here in America, people, every day, all day, born and raised. And y'all don't jump up and down about that. Every now and then, we got people who kill their own kids, five-year-olds. I bet you don't know about that. You don't show your outrage then. But this particular situation happened, and you want to blow it up. Like, well, it would have never happened. It happens every day. Newsflash, it happens every day. We look at it as the norm.
We have a dysfunctional house because we have a person pulling the strings, telling people what to do, and they're going along with it, because when they could have passed that bill that Lankford put together along with the other people in the Senate, and it went to the House, it was dead on arrival because Trump wanted to use the border as a political thing for the election. Then you're going to impeach Mayorkas, but you're not giving him any help. To me, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, and we know that. I mean, because when I looked at it and I was like, okay, here's a person who's running for office that has that much support. And we talked on this last week where, you know, it was surprising to me that where here was Mitch McConnell saying it basically, well, actually out front, yes, Donald Trump should hold some responsibility to January 6th. But then he supports him. I'm like, okay, so you know what January 6th was about. You said he should hold some responsibility to what occurred. But then again, you're going to say, but as I get ready to retire, I support Donald Trump to be the president of the United States again. How hypocritical is that bullshit? So you support this man. There was a hand up here on the board, another 111 number. And I figured it was Sarge. Salute, Sarge. How you doing? Happy Saturday to you.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing? I trust this moment in time finds you well and happy.
It's not always a moment in time. I'm always well and happy unless something makes me unhappy. But then again, I try to be happy again.
Well, I don't know if you're unhappy or not, but it sounds to me as though you're not exactly pleased about many developments, and you're letting your opinion be known here on your show. And you said quite a few things. I'd like to respond to some of them, at least.
Yes, yes. Well, hold on. That's why I opened up your mic, but I'm going to respond to what you said. Yes, I'm not mad. I'm really in shock with certain things, developments. But that's why I opened up your mic to give us your opinion and your view of what's going on, because I'm pretty sure you might have an opposing one.
Oh, there's quite a few things that we do not agree upon, and that's to be expected, I would imagine. But I am happy to provide clarity as to the reasons why I do disagree. And I'd like to start with the last thing you just said. Now, the overwhelming majority of violent and serious crimes in this country are committed by, guess what? Natural-born citizens of the United States. Our natural-born criminals commit murder, rape, kidnapping, burglary, theft, carjackings, you name it. Our natural-born citizens commit most of the violent crime in this country. But there's one particular distinction when an illegal does it as opposed to one of our natural-born citizen criminals. No matter what our natural-born citizen criminals do, no matter how heinous the crime, even to the extent of committing treason, we are not allowed to deport them. We have to keep them no matter or execute them. But we can't get rid of them by deportation. No matter what the crime is, if an illegal does the exact same equivalent crime that one of our natural-born citizen criminals do, it is worse because they're not supposed to be here in the first place, and our government, to the maximum extent that is humanly possible, is supposed to keep them out. So it is always worse. Always.
Did I say, hold on. Did I say, you said that we cannot deport them, right?
No, you try to, I seem to me as if you make a false equivalency that our own citizens commit these crimes. It's no big deal if illegal aliens do it.
I did not say that.
No, you didn't say it, sir. The implication was there.
No, that was the way you took it.
Yes, I think anyone reasonable would take it the same way.
You said, okay, hold on, Sarge. Okay, let me make sure that I got this right. Janet, did I say that?
No, he says you didn't say it, but it was the implication.
It's an implication. So that's the way he perceives it, right? No, what I said was this, is that where we are not looking at the fact that the same crimes occur, like he said, with natural-born citizens. But unfortunately, there are people in the political world who are taking this situation and making it almost bigger than the fact that this happens every day. Again, I say that it's sad, it's wrong that that occurred to that young lady and to her family, but to throw it up and make it seem like this doesn't happen in America, shouldn't happen in America.
It happens every day.
It happens every day. Murder shouldn't, but that's just the everyday thing of life. People die every day. People are murdered every day. My whole thing, Sarge, is that a particular party is harping on it to use it as political points. And this happened in Georgia, by the way, where I live. I'm in Alabama right now, but it happened in the state that I live in, okay? But murder happens every day. And people don't get in the uproar. If you look at it when you talk about certain cities, oh, well, this city, these murders happen in this city all the time. You know, well, correct it. Find out what's wrong. That's all I'm saying.
As I said before, I did not say that you said it because you did not say it. I think the implication was there, and I stand by my statement. It is worse when an illegal alien does the exact same crime because our government is obligated to keep them out of the country in the first place to the extent that it's humanly possible. And the way they are conducting this matter at the border, it is eminently likely they're going to report hundreds of these sorts of murderers. So it is worse when they do it.
So let me ask you a question. People who come to this country come from where?
They're coming from all over the world. Right now they've identified, according to my last check with the Customs Border Patrol, illegal aliens from 79 countries around the world. There's 192 countries in the world right now. We've got 79 of them. The people come from 79 of the countries in the world. They're from all over the world,
of every nationality, right? Immigrants.
Not every nationality, not yet, but it will get there. This keeps going this way soon enough. Soon, all 192, 198 countries in the world will be sending illegal aliens to the United States at this rate.
Okay. Okay. So the thing is that we're all right. So we concentrate on the southern border, of course. Are there illegal aliens coming through? No, hold on. I'm asking you a question. Are there illegals coming through the northern border through Canada?
Yes.
There is.
Yes.
So how come that hasn't been looked into?
Because you have to prioritize your resources, and the worst problem is in the southern border. Mm-hmm. If the northern border gets as bad as it is at the southern border, we'll have to allocate more resources there. But with everything, during World War II, they decided to prioritize the European theater, not the Pacific theater. That was the decision made because of the allocation of resources. The same thing goes with illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got Mike from Singapore. Mike from Singapore. Now, what's your thoughts on this regarding the, you know, the borders here and everything? And what's the conversation that you're hearing where you are?
I mean, even in Singapore, we have illegal come to China, to other countries like Philippines and et cetera too. But our problem is, you know, it's not as much as any other countries around the globe. And, you know, but corporations, they use them as guinea pig here in Singapore and give them the lowest wage as possible to have our ship. And so many things are made in Singapore. If you look at your clothing in many stores, you know, it is in Singapore. And many items are made in Singapore, too. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but even, you know, the places that people are many other countries, it's happening. Unfortunately, you know, we should, may have better policing, better protection, but it seems whatever we have to do still is the problem is existing in the world today.
Okay, Janet, you got a response?
The only thing I want to say is when the Senate passed the bill and took it to the House and it got knocked down because our former president didn't want them to vote on it, that could have helped a lot, too. So if you got a bill, and they claim this bill was supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread, but you don't want to pass anything because you want to use it as they want to use it as a political a point for the upcoming election. So I don't think that's right either. If they had a bill that was going to help, pass the bill. Stop micromanaging.
Okay.
I think the bill that was pushed down was worse than the present situation going now because it would have codified and made legal the entry of over 2.5 million illegal aliens a year. Let me say that again. It would have made legal the entry of 2.5 million illegal aliens a year, where now, at least technically speaking, it is illegal for them to come in. It would have mandated the processing of 14,000 illegals, technically actually are illegals, a day, at ports of entry. It would have shuttled them from illegal ports of entry to ports of entry where they could be processed. And the president would have the option to ignore all of it at any time if he deemed fit. All of these things are in the bill and things that are far worse than I just said. I'm just giving you a brief skim of what was wrong with this bill. That bill is worse than the present situation.
Okay, so that's a good point if that's correct. I have a question here. Okay, that would be interesting if you're right. I'm going to look into that. But so why did so many Democrats agree with it?
Hold on, I want
Stars to explain to me why did it become bipartisan and why did the Republicans say, okay, this sounds good. Why did they want to go ahead and sign it, but then all of a sudden Donald Trump steps up and says, no, don't do it. Don't sign that bill. Words out that, well, no, because that will make Biden look good. And many individuals, not just Democrats, even some Republicans, said that's what it looks like to them. So why did so many Republicans say, okay, we're good with this? But once Donald Trump
a lot of Republicans, Frank, they don't call the Republican Party the stupid party for nothing. And if not stupid, many of them are corrupt. But I'm saying I know the motives behind the Democrats. Of this I'm morally certain, even though I'm certainly not a spokesman for the Democratic Party. But I know what their motivations are behind this. I'm absolutely certain, way moral certain.
Sir, you just jumped ship on what I was saying. You just jumped total ship. You was like, well, there's some corrupt Republicans, but the Democrats.
And
no,
stupid.
And some discussion about
stupid.
The Republicans. Okay, and you are Republican, right?
No.
You're not a Republican. Okay.
No.
But you agree with...
I'm a constitutionalist. I'm
so
a conservative constitutionalist, which frequently puts me at odds with the Republican and Democrat Party.
Oh, okay. Now you clarified it. Okay.
I've said that ever since I've been talking to you. You don't listen to me, though.
No, I listen to you.
I stopped. I didn't know
just again, like I said, you switch up. And I'm like, okay,
no,
what
sir,
direction
I've never
are you
switched
coming?
Up. I've been this way for at least the last 20, 25 years. I've never switched.
Well, at least on my show, on the last time.
I support some Republicans sometimes because it's not possible for me to support the Democrats ever.
Right. So you lean more Republican because you're conservative.
If I have to
isn't
lean one way,
talk?
Yeah, but I frequently can't stand what they're doing
yeah.
either.
So in my mind, you're pretty much a Republican. You're conservative, true enough, but you do lean more so to the
Democrat Party is utterly repugnant to me in every one of their beliefs, attitudes, and policies. The Republican Party is not always repugnant to me. The Democrat Party always is.
Okay, I get you now. Okay, I understand that. I'm glad that you clarified that. So
I'm happy.
On this show, I'm going to look at you as being Republican, in my mind. Not
okay,
everybody has
my,
to, but I'm going to look at
guess,
you being
if I can't dissuade you,
because
I will no longer try. I think I made myself clear.
No, with all due respect, sir, everything that you agreed with is Republican ideology.
That's not true, sir. You just mentioned Ukraine. I'd like to tell you who I differ with Republicans on that. And very
so,
strong
so,
term.
So you agree with the United States to continue to support Ukraine or not?
See, I just said, sir, the Republican Party as a whole wants to give more aid to Ukraine. I am opposed to that.
Okay. How about just stopping aid, period? Are you opposed to that?
If I had my druthers, yes. But if we're going to give them aid, then it must be accompanied with the greatest of scrutiny and accountability. And right now, that isn't even in the ballpark.
Okay.
So, look, if you're going to talk about Ukraine, look, I've been studying this Ukraine situation since it first launched off in 2022, I was particularly dismayed that Victoria Nuland and our State Department sabotaged the offer of an armistice by the Russians in April of 2022. We could have had an armistice and a ceasefire, but our through Boris Johnson, using Boris Johnson as a cutout, our State Department, and particularly that horrible wench, Victoria Nuland, sabotaged it so it wouldn't go through and urge the Ukrainians to keep on fighting the Russians. And we could have put this bloodbath over a couple of years ago. But no, our big military-industrial complex and these warmongers in the State Department wanted to continue. And so now we've got generations of Ukrainians and Russians dead, and Russia and Ukraine is being ground down like hamburger. It's a meat grinder over there. You're not going to win a battle of attrition against the Russian army. There's no way. They've already lost Donetsk and Luhansk, those two ethnic, mainly Russian ethnic regions that they're fighting over. Every single counteroffensive by the Ukrainians has been smashed. They're drafting 40 to 60-year-olds and women. That's how bad it's got for them. And we should be urging them to come to a ceasefire. But no, we're telling keep throwing yourself in the abattoir and slaughter yourself against the mass Russian artillery and air support. It's a meat grinder.
Now, I do agree with that. Yeah, it yeah, I do agree that's where it's gotten to now, based on the fact that there's so much going on there, where there's not there's no diplomatic way of solving it at this point. Here's the thing, though. I have to ask you about this. How do you feel about the actual recorded stated comments that Donald Trump made of Putin, do whatever you want? Where does that come from, and why would he make a comment like that?
Because Donald Trump is, after all, a showman. There's no doubt about that. One of the things about him I like is also another thing about him I dislike at the same time. Those statements he made were clearly hyperbole. He knows he cannot unilaterally withdraw the United States from NATO because NATO is a treaty ratified by the United States Senate. We are obligated by its strictures. So obviously what he's saying he cannot do, and if he does try to do it in violation of the treaty, I would oppose him if he did. I believe it was hyperbole. I don't believe he was serious about it. Now, if you think that's a reason not to vote for him, you shouldn't vote for him. I, however, don't take him at his word. I don't take him seriously. I think he was blowing off steam and smoke because he's tired of these Europeans not paying their fair share, as the treaty obligates them to do so. 2.5% of the GDP is supposed to go towards the structure of NATO. And ever since Trump started making the noise he did, their contributions to NATO have gone up, which only strengthens NATO. So Trump did not weaken NATO at all, even with his reckless comments.
But, Sarge, but as you just said, I think, and this is what you think, and probably many other folks think the same thing, he's just blowing off steam. Isn't it kind of dangerous to blow off steam at a certain time? Especially in those type of isn't it kind of dangerous? Because some folks, it's just like, you know, we've had this conversation once before on the show of where when you're talking to a person on the phone, you can hear their tone of voice. When you read a text message, you could take it out of context, especially if you use caps and you know, parentheses and all that type of stuff. And sometimes folks can take it like, what the hell are you yelling at me for? Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't yelling. I was just excited. So isn't it dangerous for Donald Trump to, as you said, quote unquote, blow off steam in that manner and not look at what could be a ramification? You look at just recently when it was spoken about where Putin is talking about nuclear. And then Donald Trump turned around and said Obama was talking about nuclear. Obama's not president, is he? See, I'm just going back to that whole thing about, you know, who's old and who can't recall what they're saying and this, that, and the other. But that could be dangerous because what comes out of your mouth, people hear it and they take it for gospel.
Well, I agree with you. It can be reckless and dangerous, but I don't think it was in this case with NATO. I think it put on notice the NATO countries that are not doing what they're obligated to do, put them on notice that he's serious about them living up to their obligation.
You said he's blowing off steam. Now, his followers...
Well, not really. Hyperbole. Not really steam, but hyperbole.
Okay, but hyperbole. Okay, so he's blowing off steam. But unfortunately, his followers are believing it. If he was saying it in the way that you're saying that, you took it as him saying it, and it was clarified that way, then okay,
well,
cool.
I would prefer that he didn't say it, but he did. But I'm not gonna abandon my support for him because he said something that might be viewed as reckless. He's fundamentally correct. If you want to have a strong NATO, everybody in it, to the extent they're able to, that they've agreed to, should pull their weight. I mean, the Europeans should be more concerned about what's going on in Ukraine because it's right in their backyard. They should understand that part of the Russians' antipathy toward what's going on in Ukraine is the fact that 9 of the former socialist states of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics are now NATO client states encroaching on Russian borders. They're paranoid. Russia is paranoid. Putin is paranoid. And you're poking the Russian bear and you're expecting a surprise by the response? And with all the agitation to try to get Ukraine coming into NATO, Russia has said repeatedly, that is not acceptable to us. We were upset with the Russians 90 miles off our coastline in Cuba. What do you think the Russians are after seeing all these former USSR client states becoming NATO states? To say nothing of Ukraine, are you serious? You think you can poke paranoid people and they're not going to react? That's reckless.
Okay. All right. So let me go ahead and go around the board and give everybody else a chance to chime in. Let's see. I got some folks in the chat room here, but they're dismissing in. If you want to go ahead and let me make that announcement again. If you're in the chat room and you have any questions or comments, go ahead and post them. I'll read them on the air. Let's see. Janet Davis is here on the board, and also Mike from Singapore. I have a 205. Hey, 205, guess what? I'm in your town. By the way, yes, we are broadcasting live from Birmingham, Alabama, known as the Magic City. I came over here to meet and greet some of the people that listen into the show. I had the honor of going out to dinner the other night with two individuals. I'm going to be here for another couple of days and hopefully holler at a few other individuals. One individual who has a show here on the TMC and the Michael Bay Network that broadcasts, his show broadcasts on Sundays, and that will be True Spoken. Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time. I'm trying to check out a few things while I'm here. Let's see. Mike from Singapore, let me see if you have something to say in response to what Sarge just said. If not, I'll go to Janet Davis. Mike's still here? Things still on the board. Okay. Janet, you still there?
I'm here, but right now I have nothing to say.
Okay. All right. So let me go back to the Fani Willis situation. And since I got Sarge on the line, looking at this now, do you think that the judge came to the right decision, or do you think the whole thing, that both of them should have been removed and start from scratch as far as the prosecution? One's got to go. One can stay, one's got to go, which was, you know, an option, right? So Wade resigned, and Fani can move forward with it. Do you think that the judge made the right decision in this?
Look, I know the judge may have been inspired by biblical tales, but I don't think playing King Solomon in this instance was the right course of action. It's not like we, who were observant to this, weren't able to see every second of the publicized case. We saw everything the judge did. And we're free to make our conclusions about what he decided. He's the judge. His say-so is going to go for now. So I guess that's what's the most important. That doesn't mean what the rest of us saw was meaningless. We saw perjured testimony from Fani Willis, or at least the likelihood that it is. We saw questionable ethical decisions. We saw a series of employees coming forth to testify as a corruption in her office. We saw more than enough evidence to completely remove Fulton County and her office completely from this case, and if nothing else, give it to the Attorney General to reassign to another venue. We saw it ourselves. And him trying to split the difference and split the baby in half was not the decision that should have been done, and he's being roundly condemned for it as he should be.
So you're saying that so then he should have just went ahead and scrapped the whole thing, made it where Wade and
given the testimony,
nothing
yes.
to do with no. Can I finish?
Yes,
can I
absolutely.
Finish what I'm saying, sir? Okay. So that's what you. So by their affair, you really think that it had a major effect on the investigation about the facts that were brought forward in order. Okay, let me finish before you interrupt. In order for the grand jury to indict the former president, this affair can scrap all the evidence that was brought forward, is what you're telling me, like it didn't even happen. Like anything I'm asking you. It's a yes or no answer. To be honest, you really think that their affair had so much effect on the investigation and what was brought to the grand jury? Keep in mind, I'm talking about individuals who knew nothing about any affair whatsoever. They went based on what was brought to their attention, what they felt was enough evidence to show that Donald Trump did wrongdoing. It wasn't a situation where, oh, well, these two individuals were having an affair, so they plotted this whole thing together. So, yeah, no, that's not the way it worked. It came out about the affair. And me personally, I think that really should not have affected it, but I do agree with the judge's decision of where, okay, you all can't do this, you know, together. You all had an affair because no one benefited out of it. There was no proof brought forward showing that Fani Willis nor Mr. Wade benefited out of indicting or having the former president indicted on charges. There was nothing there to prove that.
Okay, again, I have seen some of the most solidly evidentiary cases with the most solid of evidence completely dismissed because of prosecutorial malfeasance. Even the very best cases with the best evidence and the best organized and managed you could imagine, because of prosecutorial malfeasance, judges dismissed their cases. I want you to understand that. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that the case they were presenting was sound. It had to do with that they committed malfeasance, and the judge said that was enough to have the charges dismissed. I've seen it myself. I was in such cases. So, yes, I think there was more than enough evidence to warrant even the dismissal of this case, much less reassignment to another venue. But let's look at what the Fani Willis has yet to account for. Because of the ongoing federal and state investigations of this woman, ongoing, she still needs to explain her taxpayer-paid meetings at the White House with Kamala Harris, her contacts with Jack Smith, her contacts with the January 6th committee Trump haters, how she leaked grand jury testimony to Michael Isikoff for his book, how she got a hold of an illegal recorded conversation. She made this illegality one of the pillars of her case. A Georgia County DA cannot immunize someone's testimony over a violation of Florida state law. A district attorney poisoning the jury pool, as she did in her appearances in the church, is almost unheard of, and she went to a church to do the poisoning. All of those things are factors that should have resulted in a dismissal of her from this case, in her entire office.
Okay. All right, so I got a hand up here, 909-732. I see your number on the board. I'm going to go ahead and open your mic. Welcome to TMGS. What's your question or comment?
Hi, good evening, Michael. This is Suzette. Good evening, Janet.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Suzette. How are you? Nice to hear from you.
Oh,
yeah, that's Mike in
Singapore. Hi, Mike in Singapore. Yes, I know Mike.
yes. Hi to you. Hi to Sarge, too, as well.
Go ahead. Yes, okay. Go ahead, Sarge, too. So just to have Fani Willis's office disqualified wouldn't mean that would dismiss the case, because the case, they would just assign a new office, maybe the Fulton office, DA's office, to proceed with the case. So just to make that clear, the disqualification of Fani's office and her and Wade, Mr. Wade, wouldn't have anything to do with dismissing the case. The case would move forward, but just be reassigned to a different office. As far as feelings about the right judgment or not, I think it was, in the sense that the way McAfee laid it out. At first, he had basically dismissed four of the charges in the indictment, one of which was the principal of the indictment concerning Trump and whether or not he should, or whether or not he committed insurrection or was immune. He took that out. He took a couple of other charges out. So basically, he took out the meat of the case by dismissing those charges. Mm-hmm. So what's left is is going to be very hard to prove and to win as far as the case goes. But he laid out why he felt that either she needed to resign or Mr. Wade needed to resign. And it was pretty much everything that the people saw. And it was kind of one of those things where they laid out everything that should have been, you know, as far as not prosecuted, but disciplined for as far as an attorney goes because of her behavior and Mr. Wade's behavior. But it wasn't enough to actually say that there was a conflict of interest, but it's still enough to get her disbarred or any other type of punishment. And so when he laid out his case as to everything that was came out in that trial, pretty much set her up for the ethical committee and the bar and all this other to either disbar her or do whatever they want as far as the punishment goes for her behavior, and to look into investigate further as far as the money goes between the two and that. But that is totally separate from the Trump case and her prosecution of him and the indictment. So I just wanted to make that clear. Because I went throughout, I read that thing, and it went on forever and ever and ever, listing all these things. But he didn't see, it didn't meet the standards for conflict of interest. So according to that and the law, and he cited several cases that you would need to meet that certain standard in order to bring conflict of interest and disqualification, did not meet those standards. So by law, he was right to do what he did. And so that's why I agree with his assessment and his judgment on that. So, anyway.
And she could significantly mitigated the damage to her case if she had simply disclosed the nature of her relationship with Nathan Wade to the judge prior to all of this coming out and let the judge make a decision about it. It would have nowhere near this amount of damage would have occurred, but it is my absolute belief that she wanted to ride this dead horse in a political office, higher political office in the state of Georgia, and she thought she could do so over the carcass of Donald Trump. She was
correct.
Hoisted on her own petard.
Yeah, it would have been a nothing burger as far as her disclosure to them, but ethically and I guess bar-wise, they need to disclose that information at the beginning of their case if they are together. It's no big deal if they are, but the judge needs to know. And so she did not disclose that. And then when she was caught, basically, she could have come forward at that time, too. She had two opportunities initially, and then when this case came up, or this alternative hearing to find out more about it. But she continued to lie and cover up, and so did the other two. And so it just, yeah, turned into a big deal. But in essence, it shouldn't have been.
Said she continued to lie and cover up, which I think that's the norm, and I'm not picking sides. I'm not saying it's just Republicans. I think many politicians, regardless of what side of the aisle you sit on, do some crooked shit and then try to cover it up. I mean, that's just unfortunately
but
the
we're
norm
talking about
in a lot of ways. Well, I'm just saying in general, not just her, but just in general, that happens a lot in the political world. Right. I mean, let's look at Soto's. Okay. And wait a minute. And Soto's, he's at the State of the Union speech. How the hell did he get an invite? You know, and his own individuals pushing out. See, I'm going to do the same thing that Republican folks do. You know, when they say, "Oh, well, the Democrats are another," and you know, I'm like Sarge. I'm not the type of person who believes in every single thing a certain party says. I try to do my own thought present thinking. What's wrong is wrong. If Hunter Biden committed a crime, well, damn it, let him go through the process and see what the outcome is. That should go with any politician, because I'm the type of person who's like, look, wait a minute. You folks get paid by us. It doesn't matter if I'm Democrat or Republican. My tax dollars pay all y'all. Every one of your asses get money out of my check or out of my, you know, what I pay, state, federal, don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Them dollars that I put in there, is divided up among all of you, regardless of what party.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't have no particular beef with any particular party. I know that if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Right.
Use my money
and that's
right.
Why I say, that's why I say according to the law, it didn't meet the standards, you know, regardless of what party I'm from. You know, there's a standard that needs to be met in order to qualify for, you know, being imprisoned or being disqualified or whatever the situation might be. It can't be a matter
right.
of opinion where I think there was a conflict of interest because of this and this. It's no, does this and this meet the standards of conflict under the law, under section whatever U.S. set it up. And so
okay.
because it didn't, you know, I must be honest, that he did the right thing according to the law. So, yeah. I
right.
No,
okay, so let me do this
with
you guys. If you don't mind, I gotta take a quick break, okay? I'm going to throw in a quick
mm-hmm.
music break because we've been
okay.
gone for about an hour and a half, right? I'm going to take a quick music break, and we'll come back. We'll pick up where we left off. You tune in to the TMGS, the Michael Gaye Show, broadcasting live from – oh, wait a minute. We're not in Atlanta. We're in Birmingham, Alabama. The Magic City. Yes, I'm over here visiting some friends and meeting some folks who have been on the show, who tune into the show. And so far, it's been a great weekend. But, you know, it took me a minute to try to figure out how to do this shit, from another state. So we're going to take a quick music break, pick up where we left off, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
what you want. Bam, 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 bam. Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from Birmingham, Birmingham, Alabama. Yes, we are in another state this Saturday, and really enjoying myself here. Again, I'll say that had a good evening with two of my friends. Really glad to see these young ladies, Miss Myrtle Smith, and also. Damn it. Now, see, my mind just went a blank, Janet. My mind just went a blank. And she's on the line. She's probably going to be like, what, you done forgot my name? You know, I'm sorry because I'm looking at something here, and I'm trying to see what I bring up next on the topics, and it distracted me. But
Well, we only have a half hour left.
We only have a half hour left, do I? Okay, so anyway, there's two things I'm going to definitely talk about. I'm going to try to squeeze it in the half hour, okay? If you guys don't mind, just bear with me. Hold on, my phone just did something crazy. Let me see if I got it right. Okay, I think I fixed it. Okay. All right. So, okay, Myrtle, I'm sorry. Myrtle and also Gwen. Thank you so much. I enjoyed you guys last night. We had a great time. Went out and had a good little, you know, a good little evening. Took me to a little spot that had a good food, great food, and also had live entertainment. And, Janet, I was really impressed with the live entertainment. It was one guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One guy had all these tracks, but he was a horn player. And he did some stuff. Madness, and I mean, he had a clarinet that he had. It was a computerized type thing, and you know the song "Summer Madness" by Kool & the Game. By the way, if you guys don't recall that song, but anyway, if you know that little keyboard line where it keeps going up the scale, he did that on the clarinet.
Right.
It was awesome. It was great. So, thank you, ladies, Gwen and Myrtle. Thank you so much for a great evening out. Now, see, Gwen done hit the number one. She's ready to say something. But okay, so there's two things I'm going to open up your mic, Gwen. Two things I want to touch on real quick. If you guys want to, you know, give your last comments on the last topic we were just talking about, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go back over again because, you know, every Saturday we're going to talk about politics and stuff like that, you know, from time to time. But there's two things I want to get into. One, I want to get into recently the conviction of a husband and wife for the murders that their son committed. If you guys hadn't heard of it, you probably have, you should have, but Ethan Crumley murdered three individuals shooting. The mother, I forgot her first name, but she was found guilty like maybe 2 weeks ago at the most. And then the father, he was convicted also of manslaughter. This is unprecedented. The first time that the parents were taken to court and found guilty of the actions of their child. Unprecedented. First time. Do you see that being just? Because based on the evidence, and I watched that whole trial, that the parents were not paying attention to this child's outcry. There's things that are being said that where, you know, the school is at fault. The parents of the murdered kids are saying that, hey, look, you need to take this further of the protection of our kids at schools and everything. So let me get you guys input. Do you think that this was a just verdict? They haven't been sentenced yet. By the way, Ethan is going to be in prison for life without parole. He didn't get the death penalty. Let's look at that, too, in certain cases, how these judgments are divvied out. But do you think this was a just thing for both parents to be found accountable for them, according to the prosecution, of not paying attention to this individual's cry for help, according to the prosecution? That's what they said. Janet, I'm going to let you go ahead and chime in first. Hello?
Hey, Janet.
Janet.
Go ahead.
Go on.
Go ahead. No, I was saying, I was going to let you chime in first. Do you think that this was a just verdict on both parents to be found guilty of manslaughter?
I think it was just because they had time to try to get help for their son, but instead they get him a gun, they showed him how to shoot, took him out to a practice place, and when the counselors were saying there it was something wrong, and that he needed help, they especially the mother, she acted like it was a joke. So I guess they were trying to set an example of the two. But when your child is doing something wrong, it's the parent. It starts at home. You can't expect the teachers or counselors to be the one to help your child. They play a role, but it starts at home.
Okay, so I have to open up the mic. Gwen Taylor, I'm sorry, Gwen. My mind just went a blank because I'm just all over the place this weekend. But anyway, Gwen, how you doing? I see you raise your hand.
I'm great, Mike. Everybody, hi, Janet. I can't believe I just seen him last night and he forgot my name. I'm like,
I'm you'd be surprised.
Okay.
I know, and I apologize. I apologize for all. I mean, in all honesty, I'm like, what the heck? And I'm seeing your face in my mind. I'm like, how come I can't say her name? But I'm looking at stuff on my phone, I'm looking at stuff on my laptop, and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do this, that, and then I'm like, how come my mind is willing to play? Is that a sign of getting old? Probably so.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
But no, I enjoy the show every Saturday, and I just, like I said, thanks for last night. It was great. It was great seeing you in person and talking to you, too. So we had a great time, and I just want to just say thank you and hi, happy Saturday to everybody, and y'all have a great
day. Happy Saturday.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen. And by the way, Gwen has been very much part of helping me with, getting guests on. She's introduced me to many folks that have come on the show, and in fact, we're in conversation with having some other folks to join us on the show that do different things that we feel is important to share with our listeners. So thank you again, Gwen. And I apologize again. My mind just went a blank. This is my first time doing a broadcast from another state. And seriously, today was just really a challenge to set this whole up, the whole thing up with Blog Talk. And other shows were having some issues. So thank God I was able to pull this one off. Let me go ahead and keep going around the board on this and see real quick. And let me ask you, Gwen, if you're familiar with that case, do you think that was a just verdict on the two parents?
I don't know. I don't get into politics. Well, no, I love to listen to it and hear other people, but I'm serious. I really don't know.
Okay. Mike in Singapore, were you aware of this case?
Yes, sir.
If so, do you think that
this was
a just verdict?
People should know. When you bring a child into existence, you must train the child to be
That's
good
right.
and kind and peaceful,
mm-hmm.
And you must look after them. You cannot just produce a child and then you say c'est la vie, do whatever you want to do. That's not right. I mean, if the parents knew and more involved in the child's life, then it would not such a thing would happen. So I think the verdict is just, and I have no problem with it. Go ahead, please.
I have one more thing, Michael. They should have given him counseling instead of giving him a gun. They should have got counseling for him.
Right. Well, that's what the prosecution was saying, is that word, because in his journal, he had in something that he had said, some text messages, I think, I'm not sure which one, but it was brought to the attention of where that there was a lot of stuff where he was reaching out, where he said that, he had shared with his parents about him hearing voices and this, that, and the other. And then his dad gave him some pills and told him to suck it up, quote, you know, whatever he was going through. Okay, so that's negligence of your child. And unfortunately, this is not going to be the last time we see something like this happen. Trust me, it won't be. I think Sarge is still on the board. Sarge, if you're aware of this, what's your thoughts on the verdict of this, if you want to share?
Well, I honestly have to admit that in this particular instance, I am not familiar with the evidence that was presented before the jury. So I honestly can't make a meaningful assessment of their verdict. All I can say is that, as far as I know, it's a verdict handed down by a duly authorized court that found him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And for now, until I know better, I have to stick with that. But it does sound disturbing, and I'm fully in agreement with what was said about parental responsibility and parental requirements to observe carefully the conduct of your child and make sure that that child doesn't have the means to conduct behavior when it appears they're mentally disturbed.
Good point. You know, and the thing is that we're, and I'm not going to go all the way back because we only have like a little over 15 minutes left, but I don't watch the stuff that other people I hear at work watch. I don't watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I don't watch the island shows, the game shows, that type of crap. You know, I used to now. Now, that show called Amazing Race, I find that interesting because it is an interesting thing because you're all over the country. But to get to my point, I watch court TV. I don't watch CSI, and they got about 50 different CSI programs, CSI Miami, CSI LA, CSI Atlanta, CSI Portuguese. I mean, this is everywhere, okay? Same plot, same storyline, this, that, and the other, right? Little twist here and there. I watch court TV because those are real trials. It's not a rehearse. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's the real deal. And for me, it's like, wow, here's the verdict on this one. And as we all know, the laws are different from state to state. You have different juries from state to state. Some states you have 12 members. Some states you have 8. One person can say not guilty, and it could be a mistrial. There's so many different things that can really change a verdict. You follow me? And I find that interesting. We call ourselves the United States of America, but not all of our laws are united. Think about that. All of our laws are not the same. United States of America, yes, we're united on everything. No, we're not. Shit, no. There's laws on the books that should have been taken off many years ago, but they're still there. Think about it. I think it was a just verdict. I think that it should be more so, because if you're going to have a child, you have to be responsible for your child and take care of your child. I see every day some parents that do not pay attention to their children. I see where children – I saw like a week ago a little girl walk out of my store by herself. She couldn't have been more than four or five years old. And she walked directly across the parking lot, looking around, and I knew something wasn't right. And I came up behind her, and I said, excuse me, what's your name? She said, Mommy, Mommy. I said, where's your mommy? She's looking around. I said, come on, let's go back to the store. Walk into the store. This is true now. I got her by her hand. I'm walking her past all these traffic, because think about it. She's walking into a parking lot. She's not tall enough for someone to see her if they're backing out. So they could have backed up and ran her over. And we get back in the store, and I'm hearing a woman hollering and screaming, and the woman comes around the corner and says, girl, what the fuck you doing? Exactly what she said. Don't ever walk away. This is the grandmother, by the way, cussing this little girl out. And I'm like, really? This is grandma. This ain't mama. Mama in there getting her nails done. Yes, her nails done. While her little girl, and the nail shop is no smaller than a matchbox, no bigger than a matchbox. So how do you lose concentration on your child for her to walk all the way out to a parking lot? That's the sad truth about what's happening. So I said that to say this. You've got to be responsible for your kids while they're kids.
Absolutely.
I'll say it again. You've got to be responsible for your kids while they are kids. I heard this one woman cuss at her child like she's an adult. I'm like, why do you talk to that kid like that? You ain't never been a parent. I said, yes, I have. You just don't know it, but I never talk to my kids like that or any kid like that. I don't cuss at them. But it's become the norm now. Talk to kids like they're an adult, and you wonder why they act the way they do today.
Let a child be a child.
Yeah.
And an adult, an adult.
Well, they feel like they're on an equal playing field as you. All right, so quickly, I want to get one more topic. Measles, Janet, give us a little update on what's happening with the measles crisis. People don't believe it's actually come back. Measles is something that's supposed to have been gone, right?
Yeah, there's several states they said they have a breakout of the measles, and a lot of that comes from people not letting their children get the vaccines. My concern is, if I've had measles as a child, do I need to be vaccinated again? I got to check that out.
Good
you know,
point.
Because people can die from measles.
There are people who are actually dying even now, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Of something that we thought was gone, but it still exists. And the reason why, you guys, that we're bringing this up because, you know,
I think they
COVID,
said like 16 states. I'm sorry, Michael. I think it's 16 or 17 states. They said they have a breakout of, measles.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me go ahead and
I think there's another factor we should consider is probably more pertinent to this outbreak. Measles was largely considered eliminated in the United States in 2000, as recently as 2000. We have had literally a vector of unvaccinated, unquarantined people into the United States at the southern border at the rate of 20 million, and they are being vectored all over the United States. It is clear they are transmitting measles among other communicable diseases. This is unprecedented.
Okay,
a lot of these diseases are coming back as a result. I think it's more likely that is the cause.
Sarge, just give me a second. I'm going to read the article real quick, okay? I'll let you elaborate. I only got 10 minutes. U.S. measles milestone, 60 cases so far in 2024, more than all of 2023. It says that the U.S. has now tallied at least 60 confirmed or suspected measles cases investigated so far this year by authorities in 17 states, more than the 58 cases reported nationwide in all of 2023. It comes as health officials are grappling with multiple major outbreaks of the highly contagious virus around the world. Now with spring break travel looming, health officials have ramped up pleas for Americans to double-check whether they are up to date on the highly effective vaccines used to protect against measles. So that might help your question, Janet. Quote, this is why it's urgent for us to sort of address vaccination so that we can declarate sort of the march of measles, decelerate, I'm sorry, I knew I said that wrong, the march of measles, given the global scenario, as well as what we're seeing with some vaccination rates in the country, said Dr. Dimitri Diskalakis, director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. Also, it goes on to say, Friday's tally, and I'm trying to read fast, of measles cases is up from 45 counted by the CDC last week. Additional infections have since been announced in Arizona, California, Illinois, and Ohio. While infections have climbed, the Skakalakis said counts still remain small enough to make it difficult for officials to navigate privacy concerns in releasing additional demographic trends of cases so far. Demographics, key word. Investigations are so still are also still outgoing to collect that information. The Skakalakis said the majority of cases so far have been linked to unvaccinated Americans returning to the U.S. with the virus. Let me say that again. The Skakalakis said the majority of cases so far have been linked to unvaccinated Americans returning to the U.S. with the virus. Measles, quote, is a easily preventable disease with a readily available and safe vaccine. And so, as we are seeing more cases in the U.S., we have the technology and ability to be able to prevent measles. That's what he said. The CDC updated its guidance Wednesday to counsel Americans who are unsure if they're up to date on their shots to seek out a doctor at least 6 weeks before their trip. All right, so I'm going to leave it at that. Interesting, but you notice I made sure that I emphasize people returning from their trips. 7 minutes left to go. Let me see if I think I had a number that dropped. Let me go ahead and open that up again. Oh, it's a secret scroll number. 11111, your mic is open. You have a last comment. I'll give you 1 minute, if you don't mind.
Well, given the fact that I don't believe in eliminating any possibility when it comes to a disease vector, I am not going to exclude illegal aliens coming in the country to the southern border. I fully acknowledge that Americans may be transmitting the disease as well, but given the fact that the figures on illegal aliens are so sketchy and they're not well documented, in fact, the government goes to great lengths to conceal adverse information about them from us, I am not going to eliminate them as a likely vector.
I can agree with that. That's a possibility. See, we can't agree on certain things, Sarge. That could be a possibility. I'm just reading what the article said. It said individuals returning. So that leads me to believe that there must have been something of where they saw or they questioned the individuals. Where have you just came from? Returning to America. Not coming to America. Returning to America. Returning to the United States. Where you come from? Oh, I just came from Greece. I just came from so-and-so. So, I mean, just look at what the facts of what I read. Nothing was said about what you're implying. Remember that word came up earlier in the show?
I'm sure
implying.
As far as it goes, they probably didn't.
So,
but I'm just saying the city of Chicago reported an outbreak of measles at a migrant shelter in Pilsen. I guess they must have not looked at that one. They just reported on the 14th of March. Officials in Chicago and a bunch of CDC experts were dispatched to Chicago when the Chicago Department of Public Health said that there was an outbreak of measles in one of the Pilsen Windy City illegal immigrant shelters. Now, this pattern is repeated throughout the United States, and I think they're doing their damnedest to conceal much of it from us. They're just not reporting it. This is a typical case.
Well, you know what? I only got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to let Janet respond to that whole thing. But, you know, I have to remember, and I'm sorry, I have to say this, is that where, you know, the former president said, you know, I didn't want to say much about, you know, COVID because I didn't want people to panic. Maybe that's what they're doing here, too. They don't want people to panic. But like I just read, it's not where it's like a COVID-19 type thing. Okay, it can be addressed. It can be easily cured, much more so than COVID-19, where there wasn't a vaccination. Measles, we already have that. All right. But it is amazing.
Chicago gave 900 migrants the MMR vaccine in response.
Okay.
Russia.
We've been eradicated from measles for 19 years, and now it's coming back, and it's on the CDC page that talks about it. And it says because since measles are worldwide.
For almost 19 years.
Mm-hmm, to be exact. And importations, because measles is still worldwide, people coming in from other countries are importing it from.
Well, according to the article I just read now, you said people coming in from other countries.
The article I just read said
people returning, didn't say coming, it said returning to the United States. You're missing that whole point.
Okay, this is an article, and that's not the CDC page.
One more time. When they say returning, I'm under the impression that they, in an interview, these folks who got speaking said, have you, okay, and these are U.S. citizens. Have you been out of the country recently, this and the other? I think that's what they're looking at. That's what I'm going to assume. But I'm reading the CDC page,
and that's what it says.
Okay.
So, you know
what we're going to do? We're going to go back to this topic again next Saturday, and we're going to look at the CDC page, and we're going to look it over, and we're going to just clarify exactly what is put in the article, what's put on the CDC. Well, let's take a look at that. Hey, you guys, I want to thank you so much for joining us this Saturday. I appreciate you. Always, I appreciate each and every one of you chiming in, because that's what we do. We have conversation and discussions, and that's just what it's all about. I got 90 seconds, and I got to get on out of here, y'all. Broadcasting live from Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks to my host. I'm sorry. I only got 90 seconds to my friends who allowed me to broadcast here and stay here at their home, Rob and Nina, thank you so much. Appreciate the hospitality. And we'll be back next Saturday from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And so we'll see you then, right? Okay. Hey, you guys, take care. God bless. And wow, what happened here? Oh, okay, I got it. And I'll see you next Saturday. Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Here we go.